Live from NPR News, I'm Barbara Klein. President Trump says the U.S. government will designate the anti-fascist group Antifa as a terrorist organization. As NPR's Joel Rose reports, the Trump administration is linking it to protests against police brutality that have turned violent in recent days.
President Trump said on Twitter that the U.S. will be designating Antifa as a terrorist organization, but didn't offer any details. It's something he's called for before. Attorney General William Barr blamed radical agitators for hijacking peaceful protests. Barr said such violence is, quote, domestic terrorism and will be treated accordingly. It's not clear how many, if any, of the protesters involved in violent clashes around the country are associated with Antifa. As protests over the death of George Floyd have grown, government officials have put the blame for violence and destruction on outsiders. But officials in Minnesota, where Floyd was killed, offer a very different assessment of who those outsiders are. Governor Tim Walz says far-right white nationalists may be sparking the violence. Joel Rose, NPR News.
Governor Walz also said today protests were mostly peaceful in Minneapolis overnight after National Guard troops joined local and state police in a show of force to quell violence. But Governor Walz says it will take far more fundamental changes to address the problem in his state.
We don't just rank near the top on educational attainment. We rank near the top on personal incomes, on home ownership, on life expectancies. Things that make this, and one that came out a while back, we ranked second in a survey of the 50 states, second in happiness, behind Hawaii. But if you take a deeper look and peel it back, which this week has peeled back, all of those statistics are true if you're white. If you're not, we rank near the bottom.
Walz cited unequal educational opportunities for children of color and lending practices that suppress black homeownership. Demonstrators turned out in Berlin, Copenhagen, and Toronto today, saying they were rallying in solidarity with American protesters. And NPR's Frank Langfitt reports hundreds of people marched on the U.S. Embassy in London.
The protest began in London's Trafalgar Square, where hundreds faced Britain's National Gallery and took a knee. The march continued across the River Thames to the U.S. Embassy, where protesters packed in up against a police cordon. A Black Lives Matter group in London organized the protest. A Twitter account for Black Lives Matter UK, which said it is not affiliated with the London group, questioned a mass gathering while Britain is still largely under lockdown, adding, quote, "We are currently discussing the implications of calling a mass march in the middle of a pandemic that is killing us the most. Government statistics show British blacks of African descent are nearly four times more likely to die from COVID-19 than white Britons." Frank Langfitt, NPR News.
This is NPR. The number of coronavirus cases in the U.S. is closing in on 1.8 million. Nowhere has the pandemic struck harder in this country than the Navajo Nation, which has the highest per capita rate of infection. NPR's Amy Held reports more than 5,200 cases have been reported in the territory that stretches across Arizona, Utah, and New Mexico.
The pandemic is bringing long-standing disparities to the fore, including chronic health conditions, inadequate health care, and lack of infrastructure. Around a third of Navajos have no immediate access to running water.
People cannot wash their hands, and when they are not able to wash their hands, they're not able to protect themselves or their loved ones.
Emma Robbins is the director of the Navajo Water Project, working now to truck in clean water for home use. The Navajo Nation has received around $600 million in federal coronavirus aid, but Robbins says it's not enough.
We are just in need of more resources, whether those are healthcare workers or whether that is funding. It's something that we experience all the time, but we need assistance now.
And as states reopen further, infections could rise as well. Amy Held, NPR News.
The large open area in front of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris is reopening to the public today for the first time since a massive blaze devastated the landmark last year. The forecourt has been deep cleaned several times to remove toxic dust. The cathedral itself remains closed for the foreseeable future. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News.